The City of Lakeland strives to provide transparency for our residents with the goal of having an informed and engaged citizenry. Views shared by those interviewed are not necessarily the views and beliefs of the City of Lakeland as a government entity. Hi, I'm Liz Holliday with the Lakeland Gov Podcast Network, and we are here today with Mark Farrington. He's the Director of Human Resources for the City of Lakeland. Mark's been here for about 4 years and has an extensive work history in human resources. So welcome to the show, Mark.
Hi, Liz. Thank you. It's good to be here. Yes, I have been in HR for a number of years, 41 plus to be exact, and landed in Lakeland 4 years ago. Prior to that, I had worked in South Florida in the city of Lake Worth. But prior to that, most of my HR human resources experience is in the private sector with some small companies you may have heard of, PricewaterhouseCoopers, Mobil Oil, Frito-Lay, Coors Brewing, Avery Dennison, and Anchor Hocking. And so I've worked in a number of different HR units, a number of different HR responsibilities, and the things that I've learned in the private sector, I'm very happy to be able to apply a lot of them to public sector and share this topic about landing the job you want, because it's important to employers as well as to potential employees.
Yes, and you're going to be talking about landing the job you want, about specifically about different interview techniques. Are these techniques that we're going to be talking about, are they applicable to people kind of all across the job spectrum, or are they only for certain types of
job? Great question, Liz. These interview questions are appropriate from the boardroom to the break room. I've used these questions, and employers have used these questions, from laborer-type roles to senior executives, to help them determine if someone is a good fit for their organization.
Okay, so with the City of Lakeland and how you interview applicants for different positions in the city, what kind of techniques do you use? Is there a specific model of interviewing technique?
Well, the technique, let me tell you a little bit about the technique. The idea when you're identifying candidates is finding individuals whose past behaviors or performance would predict success in your organization in future behaviors. Because as an employer, you don't have the luxury of being able to teach someone how to be successful. That's something that comes from mom and dad, and it starts when we're children. What we want to be able to do is teach them our business and have them apply some of the same attributes that have made them successful in other arenas to our business, and therefore we can teach them the business versus how to get along with people and responsibility for being courteous, or if you can't make a deliverable, that you notify someone. So those techniques transcend job duties and organizations. We're all looking for people that can come in and add value.
So what model do you follow?
Well, there's two models. The one that's more common is the biographical pattern. What are your strengths and your weaknesses? Favorite course, least favorite course? What does your supervisor say your strengths are? What would your teammates say about you? And that's one way, and that's the more commonly held way. The second is a process called behavioral events interviewing, where your interviewer is asking you to tell them about a specific situation that you have been involved in. And in the course of doing that, you're going to walk them through a scenario where you've done something. And it's not going to be hypothetical. It's not going to be generalities. It's going to be a specific situation that you can tell them about. And they're going to ask you the one question and then follow up with some specific probes to get a little bit more clarity to see how you've handled that particular situation.
Can you give me an example of one of those specific questions?
Sure, Liz. I could probably say to you, Liz, tell me about a time where you had to convince your boss that his idea may not be in the best interest of the work group. And I would give you a minute to think about that specific situation, because no matter how appropriate is you didn't walk in the door thinking of the last time you had to tell your boss he was wrong. And we want specific situations because at the end of the day, I have to represent you to the other people that I'm going to work with you or to my boss. So I want them to be able to know how you've handled situations which may be similar to our environment, because if you've handled them that way in the past, you're more likely to handle them that way going forward. And that's the predictive nature of it. And so that would be one of the questions that I would ask. And I would be looking for you to basically tell me a story about the time you had to tell your boss. And you might start with, well, Mark, my boss wanted to do a project and he had these ideas about the approach and the impact, but he had failed to consider several different component pieces. And I knew he had invested a lot of time, so I knew it wasn't going to be easy to tell him we're not quite there yet. And I'd say, okay, so I would ask you, how did you get started? And you would tell me, well, we did this or I did this. And I need to hear the I word, Liz, because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, I'm not interested in what the other people on your team did. I'm interested in how you convinced your boss. And so then you would walk me through that. And at the end of it, you would give me the context, you'd give me the actions, and then you'd give me the outcome. And I thank you very much because you have given me a specific situation. And I may ask you two or three questions along that same line to see how you've handled them. Mm-hmm. And that's going to tell me, okay, I don't have to teach Liz this, and I don't have to teach her that. The other thing that I'm looking for is, can I get the candidate, the applicant, to use the I word? And in Western society, we are not raised to say I, mm-hmm. in terms of accomplishment. We're always taught to think of we, team, group. But in this instance, I'm looking for the I word because I know a lot of people that are busy and that are kind of hangers-on that may not be able to individually contribute to the outcome of the organization. So I'm trying to make sure that Liz isn't one of those hangers-on and that she actually took the actions that she's telling me about. And this is a type of interview where a candidate can't blow smoke at you, because if they haven't done it, they can't articulate it when someone is sitting across from them saying, and then what would you do? And just before going to your boss to tell him that his idea was wrong, what was going through your mind? And if you hadn't gone through that anxiety that I hope I'm right, it's not a good idea what he wants to do. You know what, I've done my homework, I've done my research, I've validated and vetted my ideas, I'm prepared, let's go after it. And if you haven't done those things, you can't articulate it. It becomes a very stressful interview. But in your case, Liz, where you've had to do that in various roles, I'm asking you to talk about the things that made you good, the things that set you apart from other people. And that's what I want our employees and I want people in the community to do. The motivation is, for me and for our employers, is since January 1st of 2011, 10,000 people in America are turning 65 every day. And that's going to continue for the next 19 years.
And that's true across the board.
That's Lakeland. Across the board. In Lakeland, it's America. So it's not a Lakeland workforce challenge. It's not a Florida workforce challenge. It's an American workforce challenge. And in order for us to get high-quality individuals, let's be Lakeland-specific. In order for me to get high-quality individuals to replace those individuals who are retiring, we need people that already know how to be successful. And it's worth it to us to change the way we look at it and the way we approach our answers or the responses from candidates and link those behaviors to behaviors that are required for success in this organization. Every organization has those. Your mission as an applicant is to make sure that you can tell that interviewer why your skills are right for the job and to provide them examples of things that you have done that will show him that you're the right fit for the role.
So how could someone who's maybe not even necessarily job searching right now, but who might be in the future, or who is in the beginning process of job searching, how can they be kind of getting their mind wrapped around the possible questions you might ask. That's a great example that you gave us. But how about a lot of these are kind of, they're kind of big questions. They're kind of vague. How could a person just, I don't know, be preparing for the things that they might be asked in a job interview?
I think what a person, what an individual can do is look at the very, at the role, whether it's a newspaper ad or an internet ad, and find out what's required in that role, whether it's a technical competency, technical skill, or an interpersonal competency. Examine yourself to say, how do I fit? What particularly in my background, experience, knowledge, and education prepares me for this role? Now, okay, if these things, whether they're extracurricular, academic, or experiential, have prepared you, what are the things that you have done? And you say, I don't know, I've been doing this for 15 years. I forgot all the stuff I've done. One of the reasons I tell people, always keep your appraisals, your notes of accommodation or recognition, because those are the things that you can talk about in your interview. Those are the specific examples that have validated what you have done. So that before those interviews, you should be able to pull your, if you're preparing for the interview and doing your homework, you should look at the job description and look at your resume, your experiential background, and what are those situations where you have demonstrated skills, competencies, or behaviors that would predict success in that employer's organization. And once you do that, you have the specific examples. There is a formula. And when Liz, as you recall, when we first talked about this, I can give the listeners the formula mm-hmm. without specifically giving anybody a leg up. And the formula we're looking for in the behavioral events interview is called a STAR. And all credit goes to the folks at DDI, Development Dimensions Incorporated, out of Bridgeville, Pennsylvania, because this is solely an attribute to them. But the STAR that the interviewer is looking for when they ask you for a specific behavior or a specific response is they're looking for the ST in the word STAR. And that's the situation and the task. So that's the context that you're going to provide your answer to. And that gives the interviewer an idea of understanding where you're going, what you're trying to achieve. For example, I said, Liz, tell me about a time you had to convince your boss that his idea wasn't the right idea. Well, you may tell me about some communications methodology or process that the department was considering, and your boss was gung-ho on a certain approach, but you knew from past experience or research that that's a very short-term solution that may lead to other problems. So when I ask you to tell me about it, you telling me that gives me the contextual reference and framework that you're responding to. And then I want you to walk me through the steps you take. And so, but all your steps I need to hear, I'm going to be listening for the I word. What did you do? What did you think? What did you say? What did you feel? And as I said a moment ago, it's hard to say I more than twice without feeling very self-conscious in our society. So what I would tell you is I'm going to give you a couple we's or team, but then I'm going to give you the timeout sign, the T sign, and say, okay, Liz, what did you think? What did you say? What did you feel? And not because I think you're immodest or conceited or any of those attributes, but I'm really trying to distinguish you from the other people so that I know that if Liz joins our team, I can count on Liz to do this type, to perform this way in this situation, because that's what she's done in the past. And when you get that predictive ability about a candidate, it helps the leaders, it helps the rest of the team know how they can work with this individual or what to expect from them as things arise, particularly as you're getting through the acclimation and assimilation process.
So maybe people really should start, maybe even practicing at home, just talking about themselves in the I format and practicing saying positive things about themselves without saying we or being part of a team.
I think they people really need to look at, okay, what does it mean to be part of the team? If we're playing a sport, everybody on the team has a specific role. So you could ask a position player, what is his role? And did he demonstrate, if you're a catcher on a baseball team, your job is to not let the ball get by you, stop the guys from trying to score, those types of things. So as a candidate for a role, whether it's customer service or graphic artist or videographer, there are certain key steps or behaviors that underpin those titles and those roles. And your job as the applicant is to say, where have you fulfilled that, and to come up with examples that make you more relevant to the job.
Awesome. Now, what do you think is different between the interview style that you use versus other styles?
I think the interview style that we're going to versus the behavioral events interviewing style that we're going to versus the pattern interview style is the candidate talks about themselves, and we get to hear past experience, and we don't hear hypotheticals, coulda, shoulda, woulda, or the benefit of 2020 hindsight, or how I would speculate and handle things in the future. This is what I did. This is the situation. These are my actions. This is how it turned out. And sometimes the things that don't necessarily turn out well aren't bad altogether at all, because in that, there's some learning experiences. And you want to find out what a candidate's learned from that experience. You know, what did you learn from that? I understand everything. And it could be just as simple as, I did my research, I was right, there was some information that I was not privy to that made my thought a little bit off or out of skew, but not having that information, I was 100% right, and my boss thanked me for bringing to his knowledge what I was concerned about.
Mm-hmm. Can an applicant be taught to respond to questions in an interview that will position them more favorably in the eyes of the interviewer?
Yes. When you're being asked a behavioral question, you want to give a situation that relates. And that's why it's important to do your homework. And in these interviews, as your experienced interviewers, we're taught to give people a few moments, even a minute or so, to give them time to rack the recesses of their brain about that specific situation, because it's that important. Oftentimes, a candidate may feel uncomfortable and say to the interviewer, I don't have an answer for that. Well, as a candidate, you really don't want to do that, because the question you can't answer or don't think you have a specific situation that applies to may be a critical behavior in the organization. And by you not answering it, they can't get a read on whether you have any experience, exposure, or knowledge of those situations. And it may be too valuable, too much of a priority to assume that you do. So if you opt out, then you may be getting yourself waiving participation in the process, further participation.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about the classic interview question? At least in my experience with almost every job interview I've gone to, what is your biggest weakness? What about answering that one?
It's a good segue, because a lot of interviewers will be a combination of the specific situation, and then interviewers, because of their own style, will say, tell me about your biggest weakness. I try not to say weakness, because that always puts the candidate on the defensive. I always ask them, what's your biggest development need? What's your biggest developmental need? Because we all have them. I've been doing this for a number of years, but I still have several developmental needs that I have. And you want to see how well a candidate can candidly assess what their skill set is and what they need to learn. We're in the public sector in the city of Lakeland. So if I have someone who's coming from the private sector, their biggest one of their largest developmental needs is understanding what it means to be a public servant.
Yeah. But you probably don't want to hear, like, my biggest weakness is that I'm too organized.
That's not a problem, because then we would probably probe that, particularly if the person was working for me, because when you put that adjective or that adverb in front of organized, I'm like, okay, what is too organized? Are you, you know, obsessive compulsive disorder type, or is it you want everything lined up? And sometimes, you know, I want somebody who's going to keep things totally organized for me so I can just grab off the stack and keep going.
Okay, so what else would you like to tell people listening right now about the techniques that you use on a daily basis?
One of the reasons that when we first started talking about this, Liz, that excited me, because people would think, well, I don't have a lot of experience, or I'm just graduating from high school, and all I've got is my academics and a few extracurricular things. I have no real work experience. How can I answer those examples? But what employers are looking for through these interviews are competencies, which are a collection of knowledge, skills, and behaviors that high performers demonstrate more often, more situations, and in greater detail than their average counterparts. So these competencies, as I said earlier during the intro, the development of these competencies, knowledge, skills, and behaviors started when we were at mom and dad's knee, and they started teaching us how to behave around adults, and how to, when we were children, you didn't walk into a room of adults and start talking, or you didn't sit around a group of adults, and you learned how to behave and how to treat other people. You know, in human resources, when we look at individuals in our personal skills, sometimes we say they don't know how to play nice in a sandbox. Well, that learning how to play nice in a sandbox and not throwing all the sand up in the air started when we were in kindergarten. And so if I don't have to teach people to come into our workforce of 2,700 employees and play nice in a sandbox, but I can focus on how do we increase and enhance and improve the quality of life for the citizens, residents, and businesses in Lakeland, we're so much further ahead. And that's what I want people to understand. You have an opportunity to differentiate yourself right now. We are, for the first time in history of our country, we are in a full employment state, and you can go to work. But now you have an opportunity to say, do I want to work here or here? And this is an opportunity for you to say, how do I best prepare myself to evaluate the opportunities and give the opportunities that want to evaluate me, give them insight into who I am and in ways that are relevant to what they need as an employee, in an employee.
Now, when someone applies specifically to the city of Lakeland, it's online, and usually you can upload a copy of your resume. Do you have any tips on do's and don'ts for that end of it before they even get to the interview process?
Sure. On your resume, to the extent possible, focus on the results generated, not necessarily the activities. Coordinate, supervise, looked after, examined, because those are all busy activities. But oftentimes, as employers, we can find people that are busy that don't really contribute to the results. So if you look at your resume when you're done and you think you're ready to send it out, reread it, and then say, have someone else look at it to say, is this busy or is this a results-oriented resume? Results-oriented resumes always get a second look. They always get a second look.
Okay. How much does the actual layout of the resume matter as far as one page or the graphic design elements of it?
Unless you really become flamboyant, there's no need to go over with all kinds of highfalutin fonts. Resumes are, we're looking at them as data. So putting the fancy borders on it and all of that doesn't help, doesn't detract. It's more about the content of the resume.
That's good. That's good to know. Are there any big do's or don'ts for the very first impression, what people are wearing?
Dress appropriately for the role. If you're coming in to work in a lifeguard situation, you don't necessarily need to show up in a three-piece suit. with some slacks and a nice polo shirt and shoes, or, you know, upscale tennis shoes or whatever that's appropriate for the environment. If you're a lady, you don't want to dress as if we're going out to the adult entertainment industry. You don't want to dress over provocatively. You want to dress professionally, because, you know, it's a role, maybe a role where you're interacting with the public or with children. So dress appropriately for the role.
Now, I know some interview questions are designed to measure an applicant's ability to cope well under stress. Are there any of these type of questions that you typically ask, aside from the example you gave?
No, I try not to. I mean, the interview situation is stressful enough, and I know that from having sat on both sides of the table. So there's no real stress-related question. But what you might want to do is, if you have things on your resume that are bound to ask questions, for example, if law enforcement shut down your former employer, and they're wondering if you were part of the group that's been indicted or subject to being indicted, you need to have that dialogue rehearsed, and you're able to articulate what separates you from what's been in the media. Know what your deficiencies are, have a plan to address them, and be able to articulate why you got in that shape.
And how about things that people should not share during an interview?
Interviewing is a process. So oftentimes you will have to go through multiple interviews to land the job. Probably not the best form to go in and start talking about pay and benefits and time off when you're going through the preliminary screening process. It's better to wait until there's a mutual interest on your part and, as indicated, on the employer's part, to go through pay, benefits, time off. Developmental opportunities are appropriate. How is the organization going to pour into you so you can continue to reach organizational goals, as well as, you know, enhance the opportunities for personal development? So those things are all fine.
Okay, so questions that the interviewee can ask the interviewer are things like that.
Yes. In fact, I would tell interviewees, applicants, candidates, write your questions down in advance. You think you will have 3, 4, 5 questions a day before, and when you get into the interview, the dynamic of the interview is going to be such that you're not going to be able to recall those questions. It shows the interviewer that you've thought through it, that you're prepared, that you weren't going to leave it to chance, and we want to see that you've given some prior thought to the position or opportunities, such as, you know, why is this position open? And if I'm here a year from now, and you're telling me, Mr. Interviewer, that I've hit a home run a year from now, what are some of the things that I will have done? Because that helps you as the applicant candidate to understand, okay, what's the expectation that this boss is going to place on me to say I've done a bang-up job in the next 12 months? So.
Yeah, and after the interview, this is something my mom and dad always said to do, was to actually write a handwritten thank you note for the interview.
Absolutely.
Is that?
Yeah. You don't see as many handwritten notes anymore as we did when I first got into the role, but you do get emails, and it's always nice, because what you do is you thank the person for their time, you reminded them what role they've talked to you about, and you also want to reiterate something about the conversation where maybe you struck a chord or there was some mutual interest in finding out how that could impact the organization, and then thank them for the opportunity. And the last thing, and you do this in your thank you notes as well as in your interviews, if you really want the job, you ask for the order. You ask for the opportunity. You don't leave and have it and want the interviewer to assume you want the job. You ask for the order. You're selling yourself, so you've got to ask for the order.
So what would a person say?
I'd really like you to know, Liz, that I really would like this opportunity and hope that things work out, that I'm the one that you choose to come work for the team. I think I can add value. I think that within a short period of time, I can be paying dividends. So please seriously consider me. I'm very interested. Look forward to hearing from you.
That's awesome to know. I don't know if I've ever done that before.
Oh, yeah. You've always got to, you have to ask for the order. I mean, I've interviewed salespeople in different organizations, and they, you know, they want the job, but they never ask for the order. And if a salesperson isn't going to ask for the order for himself, if he's going and making a call on a customer and it's not going maybe as well as they thought, they may not ask for the order. So that puts my business at risk of not getting those orders, but somebody else's will, because the salesperson said, look, give me a try. Do a trial order. We'll cut your price 20%, whatever. Just get the order. And that's what your job is as an applicant, is to get the order.
That's awesome. Well, is there anything else that you feel like people should know?
I think people should, before they go into an interview, either search it on the web, pull up some behavioral events, interview questions, some situational questions asking about past behaviors, and learn to come up with some STAR responses to those questions: situation, task, action, result. And remember, you can draw from your work experience, your extracurricular experience, or your academic experience to draw those examples. They're all relevant. We pull on all those things to be successful in the work environment. So I want people to know you've got a world of information and situations that you've been through that will help you prepare for this process. So thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Mark, for coming on the podcast. And we hope to be talking to you again sometime soon.
This Lakeland Gov podcast is part of the Lakeland Gov Network. The Lakeland Gov Network provides transparency through live broadcasting on Spectrum Channel 643 and Fios Channel 43 in Lakeland, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and Nextdoor as Lakeland Gov. For more information, visit lakelandgov.net.